Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Friday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is April 3rd. We are recording this at 9:45 a.m. Eastern, and tonight's a weird night in the NBA. There's only 9 games on the card. 8 of them have teams that are either not playing for anything or completely in the lottery. So there's only one game tonight that features 2 postseason bound teams. That is a meeting between the 76ers and Timberwolves. We'll get into that game. We'll also talk about, options you have for some of the lottery teams. But I do want to start today by talking about what happened last night and what I think it means for the MVP race, because we have been seeing kind of haymakers being thrown by Victor Wembanyama, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic every single night, with all 4 of these players gunning for the award. But last night was absolutely pivotal in looking at who's going to actually go on to win the award. So last night, San Antonio decides to sit Victor Wembanyama, which I thought was a questionable decision, not in terms of them going out and winning. They ended up beating the Clippers, ended up killing me because I had Los Angeles plus 5.5, had a great number on it. And, they ended up being favorites in that game and getting killed. But yeah, they ended up sitting Wemby. Now Wemby needs to play 3 of the final 5 games in order to just be eligible for the MVP award. And that might sound like something he's going to do, but you never know. And I just don't really know why they're really flirting with disaster here, because Wemby outspoken about wanting this award. And I just feel like putting him in harm's way in terms of potentially ruining it for him was an odd decision. I know that it was the second leg of a back-to-back, but I feel like they would have been better off just playing him in, 5-minute spurts in each quarter and just telling him to take it easy and just, not jump too much, just avoid injury at all costs. Obviously, you can't always do that. Things happen, but I just feel like it's a little risky to do what they did last night. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ends up going out, puts up 28 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and a 43-point win over the Lakers in a game that I feel like everybody was watching. That ended up kind of moving him to a heavy favorite in the market again. And I do just kind of think that he's going to end up winning this award now. I've kind of felt that over the last couple of weeks, even with the push we've seen from Victor Wembanyama. But it is just, one step closer to SGA winning now that SGA actually locked in being awards eligible. And Wemby still not there. There's still a lot that could happen. And then also Luka Doncic, who I mentioned was also gunning for the award. I kind of think he was on the outside looking in. I know that there were some people that believed he deserved a spot in the conversation, or at least a seat at the table. But Luka ended up hurting his hamstring pretty significantly in the second half of that Lakers Thunder game. Had to leave the game. That's going to be one to monitor over the next couple of hours. We, as of the recording of this podcast, No injury updates yet, no timetable, but some of the Twitter doctors out there that you see, analyzing injuries do believe this is going to be a multi-week absence. And if Luka does not play another game this season, he's not going to be awards eligible. And I feel like that doesn't matter in terms of MVP. Like I said, I don't think he was going to win anyway, but I do think, sitting on 64 games, this is a player that was going to be first team all NBA. I believe maybe he was going to be second team. I do think he was going to be first team all NBA in looking at, his numbers and the players that are up for it. I think he was going to have a spot on that team. Now, if he doesn't play one more game, he won't be eligible for that either. And, that speaks to the 65 game rule that I do think a lot of people want to see change. But yeah, I don't think it's right that we have a week or two left in the season. This guy was out there trying to play, got injured, and now might not make the first team, because that will affect, his contract over the next couple of years, because, the extensions are heavily tied into player performance. And it's just wrong to me that a player got legitimately injured and is now going to be ineligible if he's not able to find a way to suit up in any of these regular season games the rest of the year. So that was tough to see. But yeah, definitely a big night in the MVP race. And now, I'm reading DraftKings odds right now, SGA minus 600 to win the award. It was, down at minus 275 a couple of days ago. So really did make an impact in looking at the market. So it was a huge night in terms of the awards. But let's get into some of the games. And we will start with some of the ugly ones. And like I said before, it's a lot of ugly ones. 9 games tonight, 8 games featuring tanking teams or, you know, lottery bound teams. And it's hard to find ways to play them. I mean, you could go out and put together a parlay. So the most reliable legs that I think are on the table tonight are the Hawks facing the Nets, the Knicks facing the Bulls, the Rockets facing the Jazz, and the Celtics facing the Bucks. Those 4 together, though, only gets you to minus 270 in a parlay. Then you're talking about having to add potentially the Raptors, who are facing the Grizzlies. And I don't know, this Raptors team has blown 2 of the brain dead parlays this season. And you might want to think that, you know, Lightning's not going to strike the same place twice or 3 times, but I don't trust Toronto. I will not be taking this parlay tonight, and it's going to be because of that Raptors team. You could throw the Hornets in, by the way, Hornets facing the Pacers at home. It's just not getting to a point where I want to play it. Like, I would need it to be minus 170 or less to feel comfortable playing the, you know, the brain dead parlay or the Tankapalooza parlay tonight. Not there for me. I mean, 2 of the other games, Magic at Mavericks, Magic are only like 6-point favorites in Dallas. Don't feel comfortable there. And Pelicans Kings, which, you know, we've talked about this Pelicans team over the last couple of weeks. This team is not tanking. They're just lottery. They're not even lottery bound because they traded their pick, but they're just not in the postseason, not tanking. They're somewhere in the middle. Don't trust them, even though they are 5.5-point favorites in Sacramento tonight. But would not surprise me whatsoever if the Kings win that game, because the Kings do try a little bit harder than most of the other tanking teams. So really not even a night where you can go out and put together a parlay, which is a huge bummer, because like, you need to find ways to play these games. Though I will say I have 1 player prop in these 8 games right now, and I do anticipate adding some over at vsin.com in a couple of hours. So I won't leave you hanging completely. I do have 2 player props to get into for tonight. The first one is the Pelicans at the Kings. I talked about this game just now, but I am going to play Maxime Reyneau over 13.5 points at minus 112. I just think Reyneau is a player that has been playing really good basketball. Last 2 games have been a little bit shaky, definitely has struggled a bit. But since the start of March overall, he's averaging 17.1 points per game in 32.5 minutes per game. And he's gone over a total of 13.5 points in 10 of the 16 games he's played. And then you add on top of that, this is a really strong matchup. New Orleans is just 27th in the NBA defending at the basket, and also 23rd defending inside 10 feet. Reyneau scores about 80% of his points inside 10 feet. So I think he's going to feast around the basket. This is also a Pelicans team that is awful when it comes to defensive rebounding. So there will be putback opportunities for Reyneau as well. And just some of the recent overs we've seen on point totals against the Pelicans lately, Jakob Poeltl, Isaiah Jackson, Brook Lopez, like, these are guys that are not as big a part of their team's offense as Reyneau is. He's been way more productive offensively than those players. I just think this is a really strong matchup and a really reasonable ask. And I mentioned this like last week, but Reyneau is, you know, we've been seeing point totals like of 16.5, 17.5 for him. So this is a huge discount. Maybe it's for a good reason, because like I said, like, he hasn't been playing well over the last couple of nights, but I'll bank on him bouncing back in a spot like this. If you're looking to sharpen your edge the remainder of the NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to go. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of our subscription options. I keep saying it, $9.99 for a month is a really good offer right now, because we do have all of the NBA. We have all of our college basketball. We also have all of our MLB, a lot of tennis. My favorite portion of the tennis season is coming up with, you know, the clay season about to start, I believe, on Sunday in Monte Carlo. There's no better time than the next like 2-3 months in the tennis world. So I will have you covered with write-ups over on the website. Have been doing a lot better, doing really well over the last like 3-4 weeks in tennis. So hopefully we can keep it up as these big tournaments start. But yeah, not only my stuff, but you'll also get Gil Alexander's tennis stuff, but also just all of the sports that we have to offer over at VSiN.com. We're covering everything. That includes NFL draft. Our coverage is really about to pick up there. So definitely head over to the website, see what we have to offer, and also check out our VSiN network, which is just phenomenal for anybody that likes sports talk, but, you know, especially sports betting talk. because we are hitting everything over on the app, on YouTube TV, every single way that you can find us. Head over to the website, see how you can do that. All right. The one game tonight that actually means something. It's the Timberwolves at the 76ers. Game tips at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where you are seeing Philadelphia as a 2.5-point favorite. 233.5 is your total. And unfortunately, no side or total for me, because this is a game where Anthony Edwards is questionable for Minnesota. Joel Embiid is doubtful for Philadelphia. Not exactly sure what to do with this one, at least until we know for sure that Edwards is playing or not. I do expect Edwards is going to play. He sat the front end of the back-to-back on Thursday, losing to the Pistons. I would expect to see him out there tonight. But Edwards, in missing last night's game, another player that is now ineligible for All-NBA, not going to reach the 65-game minimum. So it's another player being really screwed by that rule. He has been legitimately banged up lately. And if anything, I'd actually say that he is skewed towards being reckless with his knee injury, because there was a game against Oklahoma City, like, I want to say on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago, where he played through it and then ended up missing the next, 2 weeks. So I think that he probably should have sat that game. They learned the hard way that he played and, ended up probably making it a little bit worse. But man, just another player that was having an All-NBA caliber season, probably second team All-NBA for Edwards, but now, going to be ineligible. So I don't know if we're going to see them rush to get him out there tonight, but I did get the sense that he was held out last night because they did not want him to play two games in a row, and they thought that they would need him more in Philadelphia. But we will see. This is why I'm not taking anything when it comes to the sides or totals. I don't want to make, an assumption and be wrong, but Edwards questionable for the Timberwolves, Jaden McDaniels out, and Joel Embiid doubtful for the 76ers. So some heavy hitters when looking at the injury report. The play that I made here is Julius Randle over 20.5 points at minus 111. And the reason I did that is that when Randle plays with Edwards and without McDaniels this season, that's been three games, 27 points per game, so much higher than his scoring average. And then when when Randle plays without Edwards completely, 23.9 points per game, also higher than his average and also much higher than tonight's total. And Randle's actually been better in road games without Edwards. So I do not expect him to just struggle because he's playing outside of Minnesota. The average has actually been a little bit closer to 26 points per game when playing away from home without Edwards. So with or without him, I think that the absence of McDaniels means more minutes for Randle. And I do think that if Edwards does not play, you're going to see just a massive usage rate out of Randle. But either way, great matchup, especially with no Embiid. You're talking about a Philly team that is just 25th in the NBA defending at the basket. Randle scores about 50% of his points at the rim. Philly bottom 10 in the NBA defending spot up jumpers. Also bottom 10 in the league when it comes to putting opponents on the free throw line. Bit of a reckless team. So I do think that Randle's going to knock down some shots, is a threat to make, a couple three-pointers a game. So I think he's going to knock down some jumpers and, get himself to the free throw line. And I'll also just add that if Embiid does not play, which do not think he will, it listed as doubtful. And for a player with his injury history, that might as well be out. But the pace is going to pick up a little bit, and the 76ers are going to lean into that explosive backcourt that they have in Tyrese Maxey and VJ Ojukwu. So all of a sudden, this becomes a game with more possessions. That should benefit Randle. And then overall, no Embiid means like no rim resistance when, going to the basket, which will help the Minnesota guards, but will also help Randle, who is going to barrel his way towards the rim as he tries to draw fouls or whatever it is. Honestly, like, there's just going to be a lot of Randle in attack mode in this game. And I do think he's going to have a good game as a scorer. I will mention, I do think he's also going to have a good game as a passer, just because I think that, the attention will move to them, trying to find a way to slow down Randle. And that means that he becomes the focal point on the scouting report. But I do just think that it's gotten a little too low, his point total. I think 20.5 for a player that, scores like he does, I think you have to take the over here. So that's the way I'm attacking that. I do want to talk a little bit about what the Wemby stuff could mean for awards before we kind of wrap up today. We're going to be a shorter episode because, like I said, a lot of games, but not a lot of them matter. But it is really interesting that, like, there's just so much hanging in the balance with Wemby and, you know, that decision last night to sit him out. Like, all of a sudden, you're looking at Defensive Player of the Year where Wemby is minus 8,000. As, you know, that's the award that he's going to win. Like, if he plays 65 games, he's winning that award. That is his, you know, it's not going to anyone else. But if he does not play 65 games, all of a sudden you're going to see, like, Chet Holmgren just shoot up the board and become the betting favorite to win. So I don't know that I would take Chet at, like, he's 13-1 at DraftKings. Not sure if you could find a better price elsewhere. I'll quickly check that right now. But it might be worth, like, a sprinkle on Holmgren just because there is not a lot of wiggle room with Wemby and that 65 games. Yeah, you could get 20-1 on Chet to win Defensive Player of the Year elsewhere. That's essentially a bet on Wemby missing two of these final five games. But, man, crazier things have happened. So I don't know. It might be worth taking it because, like, the odds tell you that, yeah, this is Wemby's award if he plays 65. But if he does not, it's going to Chet. So I don't know. It might be worth just, you know, a small little something on 20-1, maybe free bets if you have them, or bonus bets, whatever you have in your account. But I do think it's for sure worth keeping an eye on. And then, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of the other awards over the last couple of days. Don't want to go crazy with them. Most Improved and Sixth Man being some of the ones that we've hit on over the last couple of days. But Most Improved, I still think Denny Avdia is worth a look. Now 22-1 out there. I got 20-1 a couple of days ago. But Avdia just moved a game closer to playing that 65-game minimum in a win over the Pelicans. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. And I continue to believe that, as good as Nickeil Alexander-Walker has been, these awards like MIP and Sixth Man of the Year, I don't think they're ones that are front of mind for voters throughout the course of the season. So I think that you're going to see some of these, you know, voters just kind of sit down after the year, look at the cases for everyone, and not really think about the ups and downs. And I think that when you think about the entire season together, like the full 82-game body of work, if Avdija plays at least 65 games, he's the closest this year that we have to the last couple of winners that make the leap to becoming an all-star, have the statistical improvement, become, you know, a great player on a playoff team. That's been Avdija this year. Alexander Walker has just made a big leap, one that he deserves credit for, but not quite the same as some of the ones that we've seen go on to win the Most Improved Player Award. And then the Sixth Man of the Year, I have a really hard time believing that Keldon Johnson's actually the odds-on favorite to win this award. That's crazy to me. He has not been the best of these six men. I know that the people think that they might want to just go out and reward somebody from the Spurs, but I think that, like I said yesterday with Kelly Bidlin, it's a huge leap to me to be like, all right, someone on San Antonio deserves credit, whether that's Wemby and MVP, Mitch Johnson and Coach of the Year. All right, well, what about the sixth man on the team? Like, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. That's not a driving force for the Spurs' success this season. So I find it really hard to believe that he's actually the betting favorite when there are players with better traditional stats and advanced stats than him. I'd be looking to take some shots elsewhere in sixth man. I took my shot with AJ Mitchell, but yeah, there's a few other players on that list that you could definitely go for. I just think Mitchell has a pretty good argument when looking at everybody. So yeah, definitely think that sixth man of the year is one that is still open, but we will talk about awards as more news kind of comes out over the next couple of, you know, weeks. But obviously the NBA season is winding down, so we are running out of time a little bit, but we'll recap the best bets here in a second. First, wanted to say attention, any listeners who are new to VSiN, signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, well, let's recap the best bets. I only have two right now, but I said before, I'm really pretty close to certain that I'm going to add a couple of others. Like, I'm not scared of taking player props in those games of tanking teams. It's really the spreads, the totals that I really don't have a good feel for, but I can do enough damage with the props, like knowing what the rotations will look like for three-ish quarters. So I will go back to the player props market once there's a little bit more information out there. But as of right now, I have Julius Randle over 20 and a half points at minus 111 versus the 76ers. And I have Maxime Reynaud over 13 and a half points at minus 112 versus the Pelicans. Just those two for right now, but hopefully we will have some more and hopefully we will get in the green tonight. Other than that, we will not be doing a show Saturday and Sunday like always, but I will have picks over on vsin.com for vsin pro subscribers. So head over to the website on Saturday and Sunday if you're looking for my stuff. We'll have player props, we'll have sides and totals, everything. So normal, you know, day of action for me tomorrow and Sunday. And yeah, hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please like, comment, subscribe, rate, whatever you can do to help us out over on Spotify, over on Apple, over on YouTube. We appreciate all the feedback we can get. But have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday for some more Harvard Handicappers.